1-800-387-3737.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
You've got Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan here with the Sons of Liberty. First off, if you'd like to know who we are, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And find out who we are, what it is that we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, our street team pictures, letters from famous people who like us, and of course, a few who don't. Also available are General of God tidbits, as well as a lot of links. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Please also feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. That's 866-233-0747. If you'd like to download this radio program's podcast, they're available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time as to who we'll be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Please email us at radio@youcanruninternational.com. That's radio@youcanruninternational.com. Once again, if you'd like to get a hold of us, please call 1-866-233-0747. That's 866-233-0747.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, America, and you have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan, the guy that we call the other guy. Check us out online, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, check us out online, sonsoflibertyradio.com. I'd like to be one of my friends on Facebook, Bradley Dean on Facebook, double E, Bradley Dean on my Facebook. And follow me on my Twitter account, which is BradleyDean1, BradleyDean1 on my Twitter account. And folks, this is the show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that?
Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in somebody else's head.
For the next 3 days on the Sons of Liberty, I want to share with you the testimony of my life story. This will give you, our listeners, an idea of why I am so passionate about the message that I preach. About the young, about our liberty, and about the God who gave it all for me and you. I hope you enjoy. This was written to meet the much-needed knowledge to a generation who are being destroyed for a lack thereof. Read Hosea 4:6. After doing 331 high school assemblies nationwide and seeing firsthand the condition not only of that of the public schools, but also in the professing churches of America, I knew that I needed to do something, and the only thing that I could give is what I had received, the knowledge that has set me free. God has taken me through a 15-year Holy Ghost heavenly course called the School of Hard Knocks to bring to you this message, which brings a testimony of knowledge unto you so you can understand. I have so often wondered as to why in America the professed church desires to send missionaries unto other countries to share the gospel, and then it forgets its high schools in their own backyard. I have stated quite frequently on the radio, just remember that the youth that you forget today will be your rulers tomorrow. It only comes natural to reach out to those that are forgotten about here in America, especially those in my backyard. What better way to reach them than through my testimony? Through this testimonial, you'll venture through my war to show you how God is there to respond to the cries of His children. You see how He brings you to His school through knowledge to learn who He is and what it is that He expects from you in return. And obviously, the scriptures will take precedent throughout my war. This is a story, my testimony, that Christ truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And lastly, as Jesus said unto his disciples, after his cross experience in John 20:21 through 22, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This testimony is just that, as he now sends me to you. Enjoy. It all started back in 1966 when I was born. My parents were Dave and Gloria. My mom worked for the railroad. My dad ended up spending most of his time in prison for crimes he committed, which I don't even know. They were divorced in 1968. I never really knew my dad. I guess it didn't mean too much to me, but who was supposed to lead us through the obstacles of life that we had in front of us? My brothers are Brian, Steve, and John. I grew up with Brian, but I didn't really know Steve or John. They were adopted out. My mom had the four of us with three different dads, and you want to talk about dysfunction, there you have it. Brian pretty much taught me everything that I knew as a little boy. In a sense, he was both a brother and a protector all wrapped up in one. I love him to this day more than words can ever say. I was like any other little guy. I was happy, though empty, playful, full of hopes and dreams, and always looking for any kind of fun I could indulge myself in. Brian and I grew up under a mother who was always working. Though things weren't easy for her, I believe that they took their toll on us as well. At the ages of 3 and 5, my mom would leave me and my brother Brian at home all day without a babysitter. I went to countless schools and became very insecure. Meeting new friends was very hard because when I finally became secure with the ones that I had, well, all of a sudden I had to move on and I didn't always know what to expect. It seemed that there was always change going on in my life. I was a very hyperactive kid, and I guess I still am, in a sense. As a little boy, people thought there was something wrong because I couldn't sit still for a minute. So my mom set up an appointment with a counselor. And to no one's surprise, he put me on antidepressants for a new sickness called ADHD, which, by the way, has never been proven. That only lasted for 2 days because I had an adverse reaction and had to stop using it. It seemed to me my mom was always looking for someone to fix the problems she was responsible for. We belonged to her, not to counselors. That's all I remember, is that I was always looking for where my parents were. And to me, that was completely natural. My brother and I basically learned the rules of life through experience, and this one being violence. At the age of 4, I remember one time when my mom, my brother, and I were getting out of the car to go into our apartment. 4 guys came out of nowhere and jumped my mom, beat her with a cane, and stole her purse. At times, my brother and I would be awakened in the middle of the night because we would hear my mom crying. Her boyfriend would break in the house and beat her up, all in the name of alcohol.
We have to take a quick break. Be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
The My War documentary is brought to you by the Sons of Liberty. In this documentary, you will see firsthand what happens when you teach the Constitution in public schools, how the media is lying to the American people, how our posterity is being lied to through indoctrination, and what it takes to bring about real change. You will also be brought back to the foundations of who we are as a people and receive insight into topics such as our founding fathers, abortion, the moral decline of our nation, and much more. Listen to a few responses from the nationwide premiere premiere screening of this documentary.
Absolutely fantastic.
I came all the way from Hollywood for this, and I want to say, you know, this is what is really going to break the back of the camel out there.
He didn't mess around with words. We need to be able to stand up as a society and say, enough is enough.
Everybody in America should see this.
If we don't speak the truth, they're not going to know the truth, and this is full of truth.
To order your copy of this documentary series, go to YouCanRunInternational.com. YouCanRunInternational.com or call 1-866-233-0747.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We just had a terrible storm in the east, but we are all still in the eye of the perfect storm. We have the most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and what about the presidential election? This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. eFoods Direct is preparing for the shortages, and you had better do the same. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. You know that eFoods is the best tasting and safest food on the planet. We all need a bunch of storable and usable food from eFoods Direct. None of us wants to be standing in a bread line trading our freedom for food. Anyone who doesn't take control of their uncertain future has to be just a little bit nuts. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. How will you bet your life? Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late?
I always used to tell my mom that I would do this or that when I grew up, and I believed that I would do that, which I set my heart on, though I didn't know what that was. It was me against the world, and the odds were against me, especially without someone there to help me through what life had to offer, or so I thought. We finally moved to a suburb at the north end of Minneapolis, and I started going to elementary school, and was actually pretty happy because it was a step up from where we had lived before. When I was in the fifth grade, the movie Saturday Night Fever came out. I loved the way that dude could dance, John Travolta. And the movie was such a huge success, I watched it over and over again until I found myself dancing just like him. I tried out for the talent contest at the elementary school and made it. I will never forget those curtains opening up. There must have been 300 to 400 people out there watching me. And as soon as I finished my routine, I heard the loudest roar, and I said to myself, man, this was for me. After everyone was done with their routines, I anticipated who was going to win. I didn't place, but I'll tell you what, I got the acceptance that I longed for. I remember hearing that my mom and my brother were there, and I felt like crying. Maybe they'll care about me more, I said to myself. After all, everybody else knew who I was now. The next day at school, I had more friends than I could ask for, or should I say acquaintances. I finally got out of elementary school. Junior high was next. I did very well in the seventh grade because I took it very seriously and applied myself to learning and doing the best that I could. I almost got on the B honor roll, but just missed it. I wanted to make my mom proud of me, and having my name on the B honor roll probably would have done the trick. I was always trying to make everyone happy by what I could do instead of just being who I was. I just wanted to be accepted. I just wanted security. As I look back at the seventh grade year, I had some teachers that really cared for me, and that's why I applied myself so much. You see, my mom wasn't around much. She was always working, or she was always at her boyfriend's house. Her boyfriend, who was a former police officer, wasn't too fond of me and Brian, neither. One time he said to my mom, "You watch, someday Bradley will end up in jail." And that statement I remember hit me so hard. I remember during a lot of holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, so on and so forth, Brian and I would be at home alone eating cereal and watching TV while other families were together. Even so, it didn't seem to really matter to either one of us. I soon found out that Little House on the Prairie's Pa was the only role model to look to. I always noticed that every show there was a finger pointed to God the Father without fail. It wasn't uncommon for my mom to drop Brian and I off at the campsite for 1 or 2 weeks at a time with people that we didn't even know. We hated it. I mean, man, we really did. On the weekends, parents would come visit their kids, and me and Brian knew all too much that in our case, Mom wasn't coming. Our new neighbors, Lulu, Milena, and Tony, were always so cool to us. On holidays, they would invite us to come over to their apartment just like we were a part of their family, and that meant a ton to us. I remember the day Lulu told me about a man named Jesus who came 2,000 years ago. He taught people about the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He also gave some commandments and demonstrated true love. You see, God gave his law because he loves. What law? I never heard of no law. I soon found out that it wasn't God's ceremonial law, but rather his moral law that I needed to know. This is also that law that was withdrawn from public schools in 1962 after they were posted for 174 years. So what was his law? It declares in Exodus 20, God's commandments, not suggestions. Number one, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two is, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. A God that doesn't mind lying, stealing, cheating, whatever the case is, God will not overlook sin. He said, or in any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three is this, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Vain means empty or worthless. In other words, practice what you preach. The Lord goes on, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Heart to God, hand to man. No servile work, work done for self. We give ourselves over to the service of God even on the Sabbath. Number five is honor your father and your mother. And it's the first commandment with promise. The Lord said that thy days may be long upon the earth. Number six, the Lord said, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said in grace, even if you're angry without a cause, you're in danger of the judgment. Number seven, God's law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus in grace said, even if you look at a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Number eight is, thou shalt not steal. Number nine is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The tenth commandment of God's law declares, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's, thou shalt not covet. Covet defines out as desiring something that belongs unto another. You see, God gave those laws because he loved me. And he says, when you obey those, I'll be near, as Christ fulfills that law. I asked one time, Lulu, why did they crucify him? Lulu responded, because he told the truth. You see, it says in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And in Psalm 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. After Lulu told me about Jesus, I went home and prayed and asked Christ to come into my heart. I didn't really notice a big change, but that was the biggest choice I ever made. You see, I was the one who was guilty, and he was the one who died for my guilt. Read Romans 4:25. There was something different about high school that really caught my eye. It was something I never realized before, yet it was always right there in front of my face, and that was an attraction to girls. I had met some new friends, and I wish someone would have told me back then, you are who you hang with. So I hung out with a couple of guys who liked to skip class, drink and smoke, and before I knew it, I was everything that I stood against. But I chose to hang out with them regardless. I'd like to emphasize how much I was against smoking, drinking, and partying. I was totally against them with every inch of my fiber. I couldn't stand these things, yet I allowed them. I was now in the eighth grade, and I loved sports. I used to run in city races, played hockey, played left wing, as a matter of fact, baseball, I was left field. I played football, I was the shortest halfback known to mankind, probably. I won city championship in the Golden Gloves when I was 14 years old. Growing up in the rougher part of town, I had to be somewhat street smart, so boxing definitely helped. My brother Brian was always my protector, and when anybody touched his little brother, that was it. It was like watching a bomb go off. His arms, his face, his chest would get red, then his fists clenched together, and then it was all together all over. Kaboom. Or should I say, all over for them. A lot of times, of course, I found that out for myself. I had a way of setting them off. I didn't know the reasons why, but Brian built up a lot of anger. I think I understand, though, because he was looking for answers in life the same way that I was. His anger, of course, came out of his frustration. I found security in my brother Brian. He was my hero, my protector, and somebody I could always look up to. I knew what I was looking for had to come from within. And so many times this Jesus flashed into my mind. I didn't take the time to seek him out. And of course, that was my first mistake. The answers that I was looking for were right in front of my face. I kept looking in other areas to find out who I was. And I knew that girls liked me. I had new friends, or so I thought. A new attitude, that being a bad one. And I could fight. I had all the things that I needed to be accepted by the people I thought were my friends. You see, I was no better than my friends were. They were just as lost as I was. It was like the blind leading the blind, and it just didn't work. I can relive these kinds of experiences with people time and time again. Who you hang out with is who you will soon become, but what I didn't know that the people that I allowed to be around me were there only to add, subtract, multiply, or divide in my life. You're listening to the Sons of Liberty. Check us out at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, that's sonsoflibertyradio.com. Stay tuned with us as I bring you through the testimony of my life and how Christ saved me. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
From the 8th grade to the 10th grade, I failed miserably and didn't really care, at least outwardly. When I entered in the 11th grade, I started to have parties at my house. I had to show everybody the cool side of Bradley. I thought I was leading when, in truth, I was the one really following. You see, my mom wasn't around enough to care what was going on with me and my brother. As you can see in the pattern of my upbringing, she always seemed to be with her boyfriends. I would drink and carouse with different girls each weekend, and this was soon to become my way of life. I was looking to understand why I had so much pain and hurt within, and at times I would look for someone to blame, yet I was the one reaping what I had sowed. I was simply sowing into the field of my life the seeds that the world had given me, and that I chose to take, drinking, sex, and rock and roll. I soon became consumed with the power of rock and roll. I loved it. MTV was getting big, and things were turning in my head about what I was to do next. I was also intrigued with martial arts. Bruce Lee was a fighting machine, and now I wanted to be a part of it. I learned nunchucks on my own and watching Bruce Lee himself. I was personally taught under a student of Bruce Lee's. He taught me how to use collie sticks. I wanted to see how good I was, so I started fighting constantly, proving to everyone how tough I really was. I ended up at a family entertainment center, finding just what I was looking for, a fight. It was over just like that. I thought I killed him. There was fluid running out of his head onto the ground. I was so scared, though, but at the same time, I didn't want anybody to know it. I started to notice that the people respected me now. In a sense, I was feared. And I loved it because I loved the power of it, because I found security in it. But inwardly, I was like a little lamb afraid of life itself. I started to think of this Jesus more and more. Why? I thought if he loved me so much, then why do I feel this way? But before I knew it, I ended up in detox after drinking and fighting. This was the first wake-up call I took notice of. The one thing that I'll never forget about this particular experience is the counselor. He was the only person that loved me enough to get into my face and tell me the truth. I remember one time he said, well, getting in my face. Oh, tough guy, huh? He said, I bet if you could get across that desk and hit me, you probably would. I used some expletives and said, yeah. But you know what? I knew I'd found someone that really cared when I seen that he didn't pull any punches with me whatsoever. The last thing I needed in my life was happening to me next. My mom told me my brother Brian, my security, my hero, and my protector, was going into the Air Force. I was devastated. All I had was myself. What next? Soon thereafter, the superintendent called me into his office. I thought he was going to give me my lunch tickets because we were considered low income. We were welfare kids. So we received our tickets at a reduced price. I was wrong. He wasn't giving me lunch tickets. This time he was giving me his advice. I didn't know why he was saying this to me. I didn't think that I was a troublemaker because he said to me, Bradley, why don't you just quit school? I don't want you in my school anymore. I know those people you hang out with. A few weeks prior to this, a couple of my buddies got suspended and another one quit. The superintendent again asked me why I didn't just get out and join my friends, which basically meant, I've seen the company you keep and I don't want you in my school. As I thought, through and through, I could see his point. I was slowly but surely becoming everything that I hated. Before I obliged myself by quitting, which was at the end of the 11th grade, I went and joined the United States Army. I left my girlfriend behind, joined the Army, and ended up in New Jersey for basic training. I ended up getting a trainee discharge. In other words, Uncle Sam said, you're out of here. I was the clown of the bunch and ended up in a couple of fights. I felt like giving everything up and even felt suicidal. But I'm a fighter, not a quitter. I stood in front of a colonel of the United States Army, and boy, was I nervous. I said, sir, if you don't get me out of here and fast, I'm probably going to end up killing myself. He paused for a minute, then grabbed his pistol, his sidearm, and laid it out on the desk. I couldn't even believe he was doing this. He said, go ahead. I quickly declined. I thought that they would be a little more compassionate, but this was the wrong bunch to be asking for sympathy from. It completely backfired on me. Bradley, said the colonel, if you quit the Army now, it will affect everything that you do for the rest of your life. I thought about it for a minute. What does he know? I'm only 17 years old. My mama always told me that if someone says you can't do it, prove them wrong, Bradley, and do it. I was released and back home with a shaved head. I was still angry, even angrier than before I left. Another phase of rejection was building up inside of me big time. I started to do all the things that I did before I left for the Army. I was drinking, partying, and had all my old friends back. Well, it wasn't long before Brian was to be discharged from the Air Force due to a drinking problem. When he got home, we moved in together. He drank a lot, so we ended up fighting all the time. We ended up at a party one night only to find a fight, which obviously we were looking for. Brian hit a guy in the face with a spiked glove on and injured the guy pretty bad. I just got by with my own scrape. We didn't go to jail, but we did get subpoenaed to court. We had our day in court and thought it was no big deal, as demonstrated by our laughing and giggling. Our names were called and we stood in front of a judge, thinking of nothing but what hand was going to be slapped. The guy who was pressing charges against us didn't show up, so we really thought nothing of it. The judge decided to have both of us evaluated, and they called us in one by one. First Brian, then me. I sat down and he asked what happened. I told him how and, of course, what happened. I was coming across like a tough guy, and I looked at him and said, nobody better mess with me. The evaluator asked, do you know how easy it is to hurt, maim, or kill somebody? I answered, I guess I never really thought about it. He told me about a guy in a bar that hit another guy with a pool stick and killed him. I said, a little thing like that? He replied, yes, but you know, he's in prison for life. He asked if I'd fight again. I said, in a minute. So he said, go wait in the hall with your brother. One good thing was I never lied to authority because if I did, I knew I had to live with my own conscience. And conscience means with knowledge. I didn't know what was taking place, but soon they called us into the judge's chambers. The judge said, are you set with your decision, Bradley? I said, yes. She said, okay, then you're sentenced to 10 days in the workhouse. All of a sudden, it wasn't funny anymore. I said, what did you say? She also noticed that it wasn't a game to us anymore. They put us in the back of the cop car, then they transported us straight to the workhouse. For the next 10 days of my life, I was so scared. I'm in jail with real criminals. Man, it was like I didn't really mean it. I'm just trying to find my place in life. I couldn't wait to get out. I became very aware of a man who stayed in his jail cell all night, reading his Bible, and during the daytime I noticed he slept. I didn't know why at this time, but this caught my eye for some reason. What they say about jail is true. There are more drugs in jail and crime in jail than there are out on the streets. When we were released, I soon came to the conclusion that I never wanted to end up in jail again. So I was to try a new way of life. I started to work at a gas station on the northeast side of Minneapolis, and my girlfriend's dad co-signed for me to get a car. It only took a couple of weeks to find myself becoming again what I was before. Basically, I was in the same rut once again. I soon found some players and formed a band in 1985. I also got a loan for a drum set on my own. With 2 years of constant practice, we were opening for big local acts, and soon we were headlining ourselves. I found out soon enough that I was accepted by the girls in the clubs just like I was in schools. During one of our practices, we usually practiced 6 to 7 days a week. A girl brought down some white stuff. I didn't have a clue as to what it was. I accepted, but I didn't like it, the fact that everyone around me was using marijuana or drinking alcohol. So I was asked to do some of this white powder. Do you want a line? I declined quickly. Boy, was I jacked. I was mad that someone had the audacity to ask me to use drugs. Over a period of time, I was getting used to having drugs around me. On one occasion, they laid lines out and told me, Bradley, you'll love this stuff. After about 10 minutes of this, I finally gave in. At first, I didn't really know what it was doing to me. I do know that I was practicing a lot more and that I was always in a good mood. I felt as if I was on top of the world. It sure didn't take long to get on a regular cycle of playing all the local clubs. And about this time of my life, I was thinking things were finally going the way that I wanted them to go. We were playing a club in St. Paul one night when I was introduced to a girl and immediately asked to go out to her car. I did, and the first thing she did was lay out some lines of cocaine. After we were done, she tried to lure me in as she told me that I could have as much cocaine as I wanted to if I had called her. The next part of my life cycle was coming faster than I ever imagined. We were playing the same club, and the singer of the headlining band really took to me for some reason. He introduced me to his drummer, who was a really nice guy. I found out soon enough that he was one of the biggest drug dealers in St. Paul, and by the way, the last thing I heard was, he's dead now. After a couple of minutes, he handed me two little packages. He said, go sell this one, pay me, and keep the rest. I tried to sell it, but before I knew it, I was using it all up. I was now 100% willfully hooked. Thanks for listening to the Sons of Liberty. Find us on Facebook at the Sons of Liberty and stay connected with us. Be right back after this break.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. All we do is made possible by the generosity of supporters like you. If you have not partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. And with a tax-deductible gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747, or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
I wanted to say thank you to you guys, Bradley and Jake, for what you guys do. It's an awesome campaign that you guys are getting people active and putting boots on the ground. You guys actually prod Americans to do something about the problem. So I just wanted to say I appreciate the radio show, Sons of Liberty, and hopefully you guys continue for many more years to come and we can make a better America for our posterity. So thanks, you guys.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
On another occasion when I was doing line after line, I felt I had to stop. I couldn't sit down because my heart was pounding so fast and loud that I had to get to the hospital, and I mean fast. I really thought I was going to die, and if I hadn't got to the hospital, that's exactly probably what would have happened. Well, when I got there, they put me in a room and immediately put me on a dialysis machine to see if I was okay. They told me afterwards that if I hadn't gotten to the hospital when I did, that I probably would have been standing in front of God right now. They made me aware of the fact that a couple of weeks prior to this, a young man my age overdosed and died. As they released me a couple hours later, a young nurse came outside after me. I then turned and looked at her, and wow, she was so beautiful, she literally looked like an angel to me. She said, "Bradley, if you ever need me, I'll be here for you." Wow, that came out of nowhere. Why me? Throughout my life, I had these kind of wake-up calls, but this one I really took notice of. Not because she was beautiful and looked like an angel, but it was a spiritual impartation and reception on my part. It made me feel like special, and that's not like a Bradley word. I looked at her and I said, "Thank you." She said back to me, "The Lord is trying to tell you something, Bradley, and He loves you," is what she said. Swearing I would never use drugs again, it wasn't a day or two until I was back at it once again. Soon I was everything again that I despised. Now, what do I remember the most up to this point in my life? I remember being dumped off from one babysitter to another time and time again. I remember running away from home trying to get our mother's attention, but It didn't work. I remember being left in a hospital room by myself when I was 10 years old. I was in Children's Hospital in Minneapolis being treated for a kidney infection. I remember having a big brother. Big Brother is an organization for fatherless boys. Well, this big brother used to take me on airplane rides to different cities for dinner, and that was awesome. I remember when I was 10 years old, my big brother John was his name. He gave me a Bible on February 8, 1976. I remember one camp where the counselor would wake me up in the middle of the night and literally tear me down with his words, and I didn't know why. He used to say to me, "You good for nothing?" And I used to think to myself, being afraid, of course, what did I ever do to you? I remember my mom would sporadically, 2-3 times per year, decide to send me and my brother and I on the bus that would take us to a church. So off we would go. And again, I didn't want to go. I remember that when my brother and I would run away from home, we would go downtown Minneapolis and fish at the Mississippi River. It's not a place where you would have sent your children. I remember going to the welfare department and picking up food stamps. I remember when we had to go to church a couple of holidays per year, and I also remember vividly telling my mom when the Spirit of God would be present. I would say, "He's here, Mom." I remember that it was not uncommon for my brother to wait until my mom would leave and beat me up because he was angry at life. And the sad part about it was, is I was the one that was the recipient of his anger. I remember hating school. I always felt so empty going. I could literally be around 200 or 300 people at a time, but it was like I was all alone. I remember that Brian had a different big brother than mine. He attempted to sexually molest me when we had a stay at his house one night. I remember that at even a young age, I became dependent upon having girls around me. I remember being scared to death at the age of 3 because my mom would leave us in the car while she went into a local bar to meet her boyfriend for hours late at night. I remember my mom sitting on her bed crying to Brian and I at the ages of 7 and 5 years old, asking for our advice as to what she should do after her boyfriend would break up with her. I remember when I was 6 years old riding my bike, and a car pulled up with some people inside, and I could barely see anything. A man from the car said to me, "Get in the car." I didn't know how to respond. I wasn't scared, but I had enough common sense to get away from him. I remember when I was 6 years old, again, I went to a Logan Park in northeast Minneapolis for my birthday, and I remember no one showed up. But then again, how are they to show up if they only had one day's notice? I remember falling off my inner tube and starting to drown literally at the Apple River in Wisconsin. I looked to my mom for help, but for some reason she was laughing at me. A man that I didn't even know ran from behind her and jumped in to save me because he literally did save my life. I couldn't understand why my mom would do something like that. I remember one time when I was 14 years old, I had a friend that needed a mirror for his mom's car that broke off. He said, "Let's go to a car dealership." He jumped inside of a fence, and I was outside of the fence. I started to get scared, and little did we know, when he touched the fence, it set off the alarm. So all of a sudden, I'm taking off thinking, what's going on? The kid's inside ripping off a mirror, and I didn't know that that's what he was going to do. And the cops surrounded the car lot and said, "Freeze, or else I'm going to blow your head off." I remember one time when I was 14, my mom kicked me out of the apartment and I slept under the staircase. And I remember when the police showed up, he woke me up in the morning and asked me where I live. I said, "I live upstairs." The policeman then took me to the police station to let me sleep for a couple hours. After that, I came home with the police officer and he went up and confronted my mom saying, "You don't do that with a 14-year-old child." I remember one time when my brother was in the Air Force and we were in Minot, North Dakota, and a guy in a pickup truck pulls up and sticks a gun right to my chest. I remember my brother kept saying to him, "Go ahead and shoot. You ain't going nowhere." And I'm thinking to myself now, what if he would have? Man, we do some stupid things. I remember when I was 18 years old and I worked for an Amoco gas station, and again, in northeast Minneapolis. I showed up 5 minutes late for work, and that 5 minutes just may have saved my life. If 5 minutes prior to me showing up, the girl that was working there was taken into the bathroom by two men, told her to take her clothes off, and they robbed the store. I thank God for that one. I remember one time when I was 18 years old, me and my friend Hal went downtown Minneapolis looking for trouble. Well, guess what? We found it. One young Oriental kid takes a metal pole and jams it into Hal's face. I remember his whole face getting ripped open. I remember one time again when I was 18 in St. Paul, a guy made me mad, and before I knew it, we were out on the street tangling. He took a screwdriver and he stabbed me in the top of the head. I got several stitches for that one. I remember going to Las Vegas trying to do my best to sear my conscience and forget all about this God stuff. My girlfriend and I, along with another couple, were walking across the street, and I saw a man with a cross draped over his shoulder. He kept saying, "Repent, America, repent. Turn away from your pride and repent." This was right in the middle of Sin City, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. His words went right into my heart, and it was the strongest conviction I had ever received from the Lord. Because that's one of the functions of the Holy Ghost, is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I thought to myself, God, you are everywhere. You are faithful. I can hear you. Lord, really I can. What am I supposed to do? You see, when you live in darkness, the only light that you have is the truth. I also remember this man walking down the alley with his family, his wife and his little boy who was about 5 and his little girl who was about 4. He was holding the hands of his kids while he was still dragging that cross. I'll never forget that man as long as I live. I remember coming home after nights of partying and turning the TV on only to be surrounded by preachers, specifically an old Baptist preacher. Again, I thought to myself, this is the truth. I know it is. I used to sit at restaurants by myself and I'd watch families, specifically the dad, enjoy their children and their time together. I used to really want that. I remember when I would see families together, I thought to myself what it would have been like having a dad guide me through life and its obstacles. And if I'd have paid attention as to what was going on in the unseen world, I truly did have a father. The Bible declares that God is a father to the fatherless, and boy was he ever a father to me. And just to show you the divine hand of God on a daily basis, I remember one time when I had no money and no food on hand. I went to Lake Harriet in Minnesota with a girlfriend. As we were walking, something caught my eye. As I looked out into the water and looked, I noticed something with numbers on it about 20 or 30 yards out in the water. So I walked out into the middle of the lake, and by the way, it was really cold, but I pulled up $130 worth of food stamps. How divine. As I look back, I continue to see that the Lord always faithfully showed me who he was, he guided me, and he kept me. What you have just listened to was the first half of my testimonial. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear the second half. Talk to you in 23 hours. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
And we are the sons. Yes, we are the sons. The Sons of Liberty.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.